Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after, Mr. Wonderful at your service, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Marjorie Job back on the show. Marjorie is a good member of our Brain Trust. She is an attorney. She is a business attorney. And I've got good news, folks. She's not going to be suing anybody or defending anybody anymore. She's going to be working on things that you and I can benefit, that we can all benefit directly. She's going to be talking to and educating small business owners like you and me on how to stay on the right side of the law and out of a courtroom. And she's one of the ways she's done that is by through her book, Business Law Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs. And she, as I say, she's our good friend, Marjorie Job. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
It's good to have you back. And we've missed you. Where have you been?
Well, I had my last trial that I'm ever going to participate
ever.
In, I think.
Ever's a long time, Marjorie.
Yeah, that's right. There might be a special circumstance here or there, but my litigation practice is effectively closed down now.
Yeah.
And so I am trying to help educate business owners and managers on preventing legal risk from happening. And so I've launched that particular phase of my career, and I'm real excited about it.
And we're excited about that, too, because the small business marketplace needs more people like you, Marjorie, and we're glad we found you. Talk to us. There's one of the things that you talk about in your book and that you spend a good bit of time working with folks on is what you call being a business law warrior. Tell us about what you mean by that.
Well, it's my viewpoint because I believe that in today's American legal system that businesses are a big target. And so as a result of that, you have to be a warrior. You have to be a fighter to prevent that legal risk from ever happening. And that's the best way to beat the lawyers at their own game.
Right. And when you say warrior, you know, a lot of the way that manifests is just being diligent.
That's right.
Talk to us about that.
Well, there's all kinds of things that I discuss in my book. And by the way, my book just won a big award in May from the Next Generation Indie Book Award.
Wow.
It's a very prestigious award.
Congratulations.
For independently published books. Thank you.
Congratulations. I'm not surprised at all.
It's also being taught in universities now in their business sections.
Good
so
for
I'm
you.
Excited about that. The University of Southern Alabama.
Right.
Actually is teaching my book this semester.
Good for you.
So, anyway, we I take the viewpoint in my book that there are so many things that you can do within your business operations to protect against being drawn into the courtroom, and that the best policy is to stay out. Whether it's on the plaintiff's side or the defendant's side, you don't want to be in the courtroom because you can't make money when
No.
you're focused on the courthouse.
When you go in the courthouse, every time you go in the courthouse, folks, it costs you money. Either you're paying taxes or you're paying a lawyer to get you in or out of trouble. Either way, courthouses are not good places for small businesses.
That's right. And in your contractual provisions, in your employment policies, in your day-to-day operations, there are just so many things that you can do and adopt that I go over in my book to prevent that from happening.
Talk to us about some of those.
Well, as a matter of fact, I like to watch the Department of Labor, and I like to watch the EEOC and what they're up to.
We love them so. We love that group. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. And they're always after
equal employment opportunity.
That's
group.
Right.
That's what they call it.
We all believe in that, but they seem to focus on, of course, you know, the point of view of employees as opposed to employers,
mm-hmm.
most often.
Yep.
And so, yesterday,
do they still have the attitude that the employers are guilty until proven innocent?
It sure seems like
does
that.
Does it still seem like that after all these years?
Because
other agencies have gotten over that. I mean, like OSHA, over the years, OSHA's gotten to the point where they've come in and said, okay, look. We don't know if we're going to find anything, but what we want to do is we want to help you get on the right side of things.
That's right.
And I say that they have. It seems over the years that that's so. A lot of these bureaus have taken that attitude, but EEOC still hasn't.
No, they haven't. And as a matter of fact, I pulled up their press releases on what they'd been up to lately. And for the month of July, I pulled three or four out to discuss with you just to illustrate
right.
what's going on and that nobody's immune. It doesn't matter what size of company that you are or what your focus of business is. For example, one of them.
I'll tell you what, Marjorie, hold on to that thought. Before we go to the break, give us your website, please.
My website is MarjorieJobe.com.
And that's J-O-B-E. And she and I will be right back after these messages. Her book is called Business Law, Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs. And we're going to talk about some of these examples. And folks, these are cautionary tales for you that you need to be paying attention to. She's out talking about helping you stay out of the courthouse. 22. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and all the other things you can do there. You can listen, you can read, you can ask questions. And my blog is there. The knowledge base is there. And don't forget our poll question this week. That we have a different poll question every week. This week it's all about the tax code. Tax cuts, I should say, the tax cuts from 01 and 03 that have been in place now for a long time, but they're set to expire this year. Should the government let them expire or should they renew them? What do you think? And by the way, when you click your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. And every week, every day when you go back to the website, you'll still be able to see how things are going. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with Marjorie Jobe. She's one of the resident attorneys in our Brain Trust. She's talking about how to help us become business law warriors, as she says. Her book is called Business Law Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs. Marjorie, you were telling us about some EEOC, some Equal Employment Opportunity examples that you found.
That's correct. These are from press releases that the EEOC let out this month. As a matter of fact, the first one we're talking about happened, the press release happened anyway, on July the 20th. So it's very recent. And they sued the Jewish Community Center of Greater Washington for disability discrimination. That's right. That goes back to my comment that nobody's immune.
What did they do?
Well, the EEOC is alleging in its lawsuit that they had demoted a nursery school assistant teacher at the community center from being an assistant teacher to being a mailroom clerk because of a hearing impairment. And they're claiming that she could hear just fine with her implants in her ear, and that they unfairly demoted her because of that hearing deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And so that case will be proceeding, but
on its face, that doesn't sound like a bad thing.
No, I mean it doesn't. I'm sure that they had their reasons for it, and of course, in these press releases, you do not see the position of the companies any facts that might mitigate against what the claim is. You just hear what the allegation is that the business did,
right.
And they didn't fire her. And I'm sure that they had a reason to think that she should not be in.
So what you're saying is that. You may think you own a business, but you may have to operate it based on what the EEOC wants.
That's correct. And, the lesson to be learned about this is that you really have to look at these employment decisions very carefully, and you can guard against them to a great degree in your employment policies.
What could they have done to avoided this?
Well, I think, first of all, they should have consulted with a lawyer about the best way to deal with whatever problem they were having.
You mean just to change the organizational chart? I've got to consult an attorney these days.
I think when you're dealing with someone with a disability, or who is older than 50, or who is pregnant, or who may have a racial or gender allegation. So that almost includes everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty much that. I think there's three white guys, three 43-year-old white guys that don't fit that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that's the way it is, because in this particular case, what this means is these press releases are not about plaintiff lawyers suing the company. These are about the EEOC bringing the action. And so the employee goes down to the local EEOC office, files a complaint. The EEOC then decides to either pursue it as an agency or allow the plaintiff or the claimant to pursue it on their own with a private lawyer.
Well, one of the things you can do to avoid this is talk to the employee and say, here's what we're thinking. What do you think?
That's
and maybe
right.
they did that. Maybe they already did that and there was some problem. But if the employee didn't like it, you probably need to gird your loins.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So you just have to
give us another example
very carefully. The next one is also from July, and this is O'Fallon Billboard Company, paid $55,000.
And you found this on the EEOC website.
That's right, press releases.
Right.
O'Fallon Billboard Company from St. Louis, Missouri, is paying $55,000 to settle an EEOC sexual harassment and retaliation lawsuit. And basically, what they were charged with was that a high-level manager had sexually harassed his assistant with offensive language and gestures and requests for sexual favors.
Ooh.
And then when she complained to other supervisors, he sought to replace her. And it resulted in her discharge, and so she brought it to the EEOC.
Well, on its face, that sounds like a pretty good case.
That's exactly right. And what they don't only stop with the amount of settlement. I mean, these kinds of actions cost businesses thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars
right.
when they begin because...
But isn't this a case where that young lady should be glad that the EEOC's took her case?
Oh, absolutely. No question. Assuming that the facts are correct as stated... They, definitely. But that $55,000 could also be a cost of litigation settlement.
Yeah.
So it could be a business decision on the part of the company not to litigate further.
Well, nobody listening to my show would ever do anything like that.
Well, that's right. Exactly.
Because they know I've talked to them about this. They've taken the test and passed the test. You don't do stuff like that. If there's an employee who has a problem and they bring you a problem with one of your managers or one of your employees, you deal with it in the right way. You don't let it go, and you sure don't punish the person who brought the information to you.
That's correct, and this goes back to the policies and disciplinary procedures that you have for your employees.
To me, the big thing is don't let this get out of hand, folks. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't act like it's not a big deal, because these things have a tendency to mushroom, don't they, Marjorie?
They absolutely do. And
hold on to that thought. We're gonna let you respond to that again and give some other examples after these messages. Marjorie Jobe is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
That's all I've ever for myself, if you please.
Little Dire Straits bringing us back 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. For hanging out with me, we're having a great visit with our good friend Marjorie Jobe, the author of Business Law Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs. Protect your company from lawyers, lawsuits, and legal disasters. And Marjorie is one of the resident attorneys in our brain trust. Marjorie, tell us again how we can find you online, how we can find your book.
MarjorieJobe.com. My book can be found on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
And it's an award-winning book. It's an award-winning book, too. So,
yes,
and of course, as my audience knows, Marjorie, nothing but the best for my guys.
That's right.
For my folks. No chopped liver here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Marjorie, give us some other example. Give us another example of you're on an EEOC role. Are we picking on the EEOC? Some of the things that you've mentioned, Marjorie, some of the cases you've mentioned here have sounded like they had merit.
Well, let me just say that if there is not another side to this story, they certainly do. But all you hear in these press releases are the side of the employee in this particular action.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like I mentioned on this $55,000 settlement, that could easily be a business decision on a part of the company
and
not
is that
to go
press
forward
release,
with litigation.
Does that press release go out to the press? Really?
Yeah,
So here's the problem. Let's say that now you told us of at least two cases.
That's
both
right.
of them sounded plausible. Both of them sound like the defendant or the plaintiff, I should say, had a reason to bring the case. But let's say that one of them wasn't. Pick one. I don't care. One of them, let's say, was totally without merit. That was just the plaintiff's side of the story that got put out in the press release. So here's this company that didn't do anything wrong. And all of a sudden in the newspaper one morning, they wake up and the newspaper's printing the copy of the press release that shows them as being a bunch of dirty, rotten dogs.
That's right. That's exactly what happens.
And so never mind what it's going to cost me to defend myself. I've spent 30 years building a brand, and in one morning's newspaper, all that's shot to heck.
Because you made a business decision not to fight and go forward with the litigation because...
You mean not to settle?
Yes, I'm sorry, not to settle, because if you are litigating a case from start to finish, then your legal bills can be anywhere from $60,000 to a couple hundred
thousand. But if you didn't do anything wrong, settling sounds like you're guilty.
Well, it all boils down to the business decision.
And so basically, if you want to protect your image, they've got you hostage.
That's right. They do. And in particularly...
What's wrong about this press release thing.
That's right. And what's to be taken away by your listeners from this last one we discussed on the sexual harassment is that if you do not have a sexual harassment policy in writing and you don't train on it, then that alone is cause for the EEOC to interpret your behavior in a bad light.
Mm-hmm.
So the more policies...
We've sure talked about this many times before, folks, about having the policy in place, because if you don't, it seems by not having a policy, it's the sin of omission and a presumption. And in some ways, as you can see, it's a presumption of guilt.
Yes, and here's the next one that is shocking, especially for companies that have a small number of employees, and that is Terminix International, which is the major exterminator firm. In Memphis, they agreed to pay $80,000 to settle an EEOC pregnancy discrimination lawsuit. And in this case, what happened was this lady who worked there was a pest technician, and she became pregnant, and she informed her manager that she could not be around pesticides while she was pregnant.
Right.
And so the company honored her restriction for about 6 weeks and put her on a different position to do. And then they forced her to take medical leave and then eventually discharged her because they claimed they didn't have enough work for her to perform with that restriction.
Right.
And so she went to the EEOC. The EEOC filed the lawsuit. And then it resulted in a settlement of the lawsuit. And let me just say, it doesn't stop there. When the EEOC gets involved, they not only require the payment of money for damages to the individual, but they will require you to adopt more policies, have audits, do compliance reporting.
They're going to become frequent visitors.
That's right. And so the money bleeding of the company on the bottom line doesn't stop with the $80,000.
So the answer is make sure that you've got the right kind of policies, the current and contemporary policies that fit the dangers that are out there.
That's right. Exactly.
But it's also good management, too.
Yes,
I mean, don't forget that. It's good management. And have your people sign that they understand and understand the policies, too, right?
That's exactly right.
Hey, Marjorie, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Thanks for the heads up, for the warning, for the scare that you put into us. Maybe it'll motivate some other folks. And we're glad that you're going to be spending more time with us and helping us to educate us more about this. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Marjorie Jobe, ladies and gentlemen. MarjorieJobe.com is her website. Check it out. She'll be back real soon. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to thank you, small business owners. You're my heroes. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.